Talaarawan ng Bagong Kaalaman. Hatid namin sa inyo ang iba't ibang webinars, online-based discussions, at iba pang diskurso sa loob at labas ng universidad. Dito sa Talaalaman, DZUP Special Features.
Magandang araw mga kasali! Para sa araw na ito, dito sa Talaalaman, DZUP Special Features, ating mapakikinggan ang webinar na inorganisa ng Office of the Vice Chancellor and Student Affairs. Ito ay pinamagatang, Am I Not Enough? May kulang ba sa akin? May mali ba sa akin? Managing Your Mental Health. Bahagi ito ng kanilang webinar series na Surviving Long Distance Remote Learning at unang napakinggan noong February 8, 2021. With the resource speakers, Dr. Mary Ann Gina Valderrama ng UPD Office of Counseling and Guidance, Dr. Giselle Patricia B. Principe ng UPD PsychServe, at si Julia Clarice L. De Leon na estudyante ng UP National College of Public Administration and Governance. Ngayon namang Martes, pakinggan natin ang ikalawang bahagi ng webinar na ating nasimulan kahapon.
So moving on to our second speaker for today, she took her bachelor's degree in the College of Education, major in special education, and recently obtained her doctorate in clinical psychology in UP Diliman as well. She is working as a psychosocial support specialist, or PSS, in the UP Diliman PsychServe and a clinical psychologist in STEPS, a center that caters to persons with disabilities and their families. She helps individuals with high-functioning autism or Asperger's syndrome, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or ADHD, depression and anxiety through social skills training, self-management coaching, emotional regulation, and transition to work programs. She is an outdoor enthusiast, hiking, swimming, lawn tennis, and biking. She is also a dog lover, and now in pandemic times, an aspiring home baker. Let us all welcome Dr. Giselle B. Principe.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Taki, for that very elaborate introduction. First of all, I'd like to give my thanks, of course, to our DC Luis and her office for inviting me as a representative of UP PsychServe to this webinar series. We are very excited to partake in this sharing because we know we can be of great help to our UP students. So thank you very much for including me in the seminar. Now, I'm going to do my best to try to multitask here. Something that I've been learning throughout the pandemic, which is to share with you. So I've decided to entitle my talk for today as Lessons Learned in Distance Learning, of course, but more of how we can learn from each other's experience and at the same time look towards changing our way of life and how we cope, possibly for the second semester. Yeah. Initially, I wanted sana for us, like Dr. Gina did, was to type some words to talk about our feelings and thoughts in the past semester. But since we have already done that, and I can see a lot of students and participants giving their thoughts, I decided maybe we can summarize my summary of your words that you had included a while ago. And it seems, there's lots of anxiety going on. There's lots of issues with work, at the same time, issues with what's happening in our environment. You know, distance learning and the pandemic always come in hand in hand, yes? And I can just imagine how we are all feeling overwhelmed, maybe tired, maybe some of us emotional, and probably lacking in motivation. So I'm hoping that in the next 40 minutes, of your stay here with me today, I can put some clarity in your minds with my presentation and hopefully uplift your attitude. At the end, we want to be sure or find ways to take some steps towards making life more meaningful in the second semester. And we hope to do this by trying to obtain our four goals. First, looking at some mental health challenges that students from other universities are experiencing, facing ways to face the challenges, of course, but particularly focusing on emotions. As Dr. Gina had mentioned earlier, I've devoted these 40 minutes to talking about how we feel. And finally, perhaps finding a way to take the first step for change. So I've chosen to understand mental health and what we're doing, what's happening to us today by looking at some research. We all know, no, mga research natin, talagang magandang basihan yan sa pag-organize ng mga datos at pag-intindi ng mga pangyayari sa atin. Napili ko po itong research na to na ginawa ko sa US, no? Ang title niya ay Effects of COVID-19 on College Students. This research used a method, survey method, and had 197 college students participating, all coming from the engineering college and course. As you can see, there are 20-year-old participants as a mean age, and half of them, almost half, were male and half were female. Yeah. What did we find out? Well, from that research, the results showed that 71% of these students feel that their stress and anxiety increased. Very big number, no? And the remaining 29% could be divided into people who felt, yeah, it's okay, no change at all, or just a few 9% feeling that, but somehow my stress decreased. Pag nataka tayo, bakit mayroong mga taong na-decrease naman ng stress? Well, there are a lot of advantages, no? Hindi lang to all the disadvantages. Meron din palang advantages. Staying at home, no? Staying away from our stressors outside there for some people, but not all. Yeah. And from the study, when they were asked if it had a negative impact on their lives, 50% agreed to it. So this slide is a table that they presented that shows the different problem areas or issues that mental health issues of these students. You can see there it has been ranged from non-mild, moderate, and severe. And as you can see closely, the sleeping patterns seem to be the most severe kind of concern. Siguro, marami din sa atin, no? Hindi lang estudyante, pati mga magulang sleeping. Malaki talaga ang pagbabago ng sleeping. So let me take you a little bit in the next few slides to look at each concern. The first, or majority, no? Majority did admit na 91% had some feelings of fear and worry about health. I guess our health nowadays is really something there in the back of our minds, always, you know, lurking around our brain. Because as long as the COVID is still here, we don't have vaccines and we're in quarantine, this will be something that comes to visit us every now and then. More so for people who have had death in the family or perhaps family members who are going out to work and exposing themselves. The second top concern was concentration. And I did notice that mas kanina dun sa mga text words na binanggit natin, ang dami mga difficulty with concentrating and distractions. Most of these distractions from the study came from being at home. So when we're at home, we hope it could be not stressful, but apparently when we want to study and work, family members can become an interruption. Huh? Not only that, pwede din yung mga chores na binibigay sa atin, mga kailangan natin gawin. If we were in school, these things would not be present. Yeah. Other than that, there's also a mix of Yeah, social media, video games, some internal distractions like fatigue, Zoom fatigue, boredom, and probably worries, lack of accountability. We're worrying if are we being responsible enough. So if you can notice, our brains seem to have a lot of tabs open every day during this pandemic, and concentration is affected. Like I emphasized earlier, sleep, yeah, sleep is a major concern. A lot are experiencing this, with 86% from the study, and one third are having severe sleep patterns. I'm sure nakaka-relate kayo dito na yung staying up later than you expected, tapos waking up late, tapos having different sleeping times. No? Doctors will say, of course, and this is not very good for our health if we do not have at least 8 hours of sleep. And it worries a lot, us a lot. Included in the mental health issues is social interaction. Man. That is very natural for us to be worried about the decrease in the contact with friends. We miss the face-to-face. Ako nga, gusto ko yung nag-counseling, nag-therapy face-to-face, but I really have to stick with our telepsychotherapy, miss it a lot, and also doing our outdoor activities. This last year, that's where we all realized how important rest and relaxation is, because without it, our mental health is affected. Yeah. And this major concern, tulad ninyo, academic performance was an issue in this group of engineers from the US and continue to be an issue for many students all over the world. They had to shift immediately to something new so that could be stressful, changing the syllabus, having technical issues and difficulty. And more so, the workload that was being given to them. Another area, though, ito 70%, kung ang sleeping natin ay affected, hindi nakakagulat na ang eating ay nagiging irregular din. Maraming tao either nag-resort to eating more, either because they're at home, the food is very accessible, or there is such a thing as called emotional eating. So when we are very worried or anxious or angry, it is not unusual for us to be eating, using eating as a way to distract ourselves or feel a lot better. Then, of course, there are those who have decreased appetite as well. Living conditions. So in the U.S., marami estudyante doon nakatira sa dorm pag nasa college. So marami sa kanila affected by this. No? Having to move back home is a big deal for them. Maybe in the Philippines it wasn't, but there could be some who used to live in the dorms and are very much affected by going back home. Why is this? Because when you are at home, it is not surprising that your parents will want to interfere or maybe affect the decisions that you make. And you may feel a little bit less more independent and very sad about that. So those are some of the issues that arise when you get to go back home. And let us not forget this pandemic brings to it financial concerns and financial difficulties. A lot of students have jobs, no, while they are studying, internships. So all of these things have been lost in this experience of ours. If it is not our worries about our finances, it could also include worries about our family's finances. Yeah. And the last two areas of concerns are focusing on yung mga thoughts that we have in our minds, no? Yung ating feelings that of sadness and loneliness that interrupt us in the day. Yeah, we may feel uncertain, lonely, and sometimes even powerless when it comes to how our academics will work out, or how relationships will work out, or even how our health will work out. And not surprising, many people will also overthink along the way. the study, was able to ask them about this very important matter, no? It's something that we want to, are indications of poor mental health, yung mga suicidal thoughts ng ating mga kaibigan at estudyante sa UP. When we get very, very depressed, it is not surprising that these things, no? Hopelessness will come to mind, and these things can occur. It is based on the results of the study, sabi naman po dito sa study na even before the pandemic, in a regular, normal state, ganito na rin kadami ang mga estudyante nahihirapan sa buhay. So itong 8% na rate na lumabas sa pandemic, para lang sinasabi nila, baka more or less, it is just a continuation of the past experiences of our students. Now, here in UP, so we explored the findings in the States. Dr. Gina talked to you with similar data about other countries. If we look here in our country, I can share with you, PsychServe opened psychotherapy for the general public during our pandemic. Yeah. We were able to serve the Filipino people, and from our statistics, we were able to see that noong time of March to May, and even in July, no, a lot of people were really undergoing difficulty and stress and had wanted to reach out to professionals and to be able to talk about what was going on. Because the average daily sign-up then was 41 a day, and it even reached 166 in one of the days that we were conducting our therapy. And like those issues that were mentioned earlier, health, feelings of loneliness, frustration with the government, growth and wellness concern, life effectiveness, these were also the common concerns of everyone around us. Specifically, when it comes to our UP students, the total sign-ups that we have in UP PsychServe comprised 1,044, diba? Nung buong taon ng 2020. This is double. It has double or almost double the clients that we had seen in 2019, which is a total of 652. So how the level talaga of need for people to talk about their emotions, to find help, the stress that they're experiencing talagang malaki-malaki. Now, if you can see, no, noong August of 2020, we have reached that almost 652 number. Yeah? And of this year, we have 125 students waiting to be helped, to be listened to, and to have psychotherapy. So these numbers, what are they saying? What is our conclusion? After all that, looking at research, finding a reliable data, and checking statistics of the UP PsychServe, talagang the world, not just you, everyone, is really experiencing stress. And for many, it is overwhelming. Yeah, this pandemic is affecting us in physical ways, mental ways, social ways, and financial ways. So it's a total, not total influence on us. And the major concerns, ones we had mentioned before, are health for students, concentration, sleep, lack of social interaction, and academic performance. And all in all, no, the feeling of anxiety is really visiting each one of us, and it is a collective feeling. I'm here today, okay, to make us aware of what's going on. Hopefully, these statistics do not, you know, wag sanang sumama ang loob o magkaroon ng wala ng pag-asa or to feel really downhearted. Sometimes it's helpful to look at the numbers and to look at what's going on out there so we know how. We know how to take the next steps to face it. Huh? And the rest of my presentation will try and help you learn more of ways to do that. Now, my number one, yeah, when I do psychotherapy, my number one theme or recommendation is really reviewing your experience with mind-body connection. Okay? Ano ba ibig sabihin ito? Okay, that we want, when we take care of ourselves, we want to be able to balance how we attend to our body, how we attend to our minds, meaning our thoughts and emotions, and of course, not to forget also our spirit. When we have good mind and good body, this can also affect a lot on our spirit and well-being. Okay, so yeah, this is gonna be like a review for you. Bata pa lang kayo, sa eskwelahan, sa bahay, paulit-ulit na na-emphasize yung good sleep, 6 to 8 hours of sleep, regular exercise, at saka healthy diet. Yan, hindi na ata ito mababago ever, no? Dapat ano, aware tayo dito at nabibigyan natin ito ng panahon. But sa pagdating ng pandemya, hindi lang yon ang naging nasa isipan natin. Meron din tayong immune system na kailangan alagaan. So I'm sure in your homes, maraming mga different practices ang ginagawa ng bawat pamilya. Taking in more ginger, citrus fruits, bell peppers, spinach, kiwi, almonds. Madami po yan at mahanap natin yan lahat sa internet. Now, but we want to be reminded, meron pa tayong magagawang boosting the immune system. But that spending money, spending time on exercise, sleep, and good food will not be as helpful or as successful, sabi nga nila, no? Kung hindi din natin titingnan ang mga nangyayari ito sa ating kalooban. Sa mind-body connection, pinaghahalagaan ang ating mga feelings. Be aware of our feelings and stress and attending to them. In fact, medical research shows na when you worry, parts of your body, hindi lang nag-weaken yung buong katawan, pero may specific part ito yung ating digestive systems. When we have fear, it has impacts daw on our lungs. Fear, kidney ang fear. Grief naman ay ang ating lungs. Anger can have us. There are studies that affect liver. And stress, both on our brains and our hearts. So we can explain that. Probably a doctor can explain to you how all these things are connected. How we think and feel connects to how our body reacts, our circulatory system and our respiratory system. So let's keep this in mind. Now, dahil dito, ang nag-isip-isipan ko na magandang i-mag-focus tayo dun sa emotions, no? Our mental health. Dahil physical health, parang ang tagal na natin pinag-usapan yan, pero ang emotions, parang hindi siya ganun ka-popular sa ating buhay, no? Bakit kaya ganun? No, they say nga, sabi nga nila, na talking about our emotions, hindi siya ganun kadaling gawin. No? Pag-isipan siya at pag-usapan. There are many reasons po kung bakit yan ganyan. Lalo na dito sa Pilipinas, no? And some Asian countries, maybe we have these beliefs kasi nung lumalaki tayo na pagbata ka, bawal pag-usapan ng emotion, bawal banggitin ang mga emotions dahil parang may mga negative connotations sa atin yun. Tulad ng emotional, uncontrollable yan pag emotional. O kaya, daming energy na suspend pag emotional, ayoko niyan. Or, immature. Pag tao ay nagsalita ito sa emotions, napaka-immature ng tao na yun. What we would like to do, actually, is for you to recognize or at least, you know, keep in mind na the more, no, you want to control your emotions, the more you want to minimize these experiences, you will end up suppressing them. And that example we have in the picture is so common. When someone asks you, a lot of people will say, "I'm fine," but then in the back of their minds, dami-dami pa lang sa iniisip, no? As you suppress them, it gets harder for you to experience them, to handle them, and can have an impact on your physical and mental health. Natutuwa ako actually today kasi nung tinanong ni Miss Gina, ano bang naiisip niyo, ano nararamdaman niyo? Ang dami-dami sunod-sunod, no? Ang mga sagot natin dito sa ating seminar. Kaya magandang nakakapag-express tayo sa ating mga activities na ito. Yan. At mukhang lahat tayo ay eager to know paano ba natin i-address ng mga emotions. Well, today, I will just bring to your awareness or probably some suggestions on three different ways to at least purge or get that emotion out of you or to feel a lot lighter. Yeah? We have, the first is broadening your emotional vocabulary. Yan. So, ang invitation ko sa inyo dito, so when you try this, is when you're feeling something very strong emotion, it would help if you try to name that emotion. Huh? And try, as much as possible, to add maybe one or two other words. Why? Because you'll be surprised. Sometimes what you're feeling cannot be just one. It can be a breath of emotions. Breath. Maraming sabay-sabay. Pwede din ang feeling na yun ay meron pa palang malalim na pinanggagalingan. Yan. So, when you think about how you feel, try to explore it this way. And, take note, huwag lang natin ito gagawin for negative emotions. Maganda din itong gawin for positive emotions. Because the benefits of this can also be on the positive side when you acknowledge them, the positive ones, and you know that it is a part of you. So in the internet, yan, marami tayong makikita ng emotional wheels or wheel of emotions that, you know, is able to organize in a way na makikita mo, pag mad ako, ang dami ko palang pwedeng maramdaman, no? Hindi lang yung simpleng mad. Pwedeng rage or pwedeng jealousy. Jealousy pala is part of mad feelings, no? If you look into the feeling of sad, yan. Meron din tayong feelings dito, no? That connect to the major feeling of being sad. I chose this wheel kasi hindi lang tatlo yung negative, meron din tayong positive. Yung ibang wheels kasi puro negative ang nandun, isa lang ang positive. Ito, it brings to our awareness also, our minds, ano ba yung mga feelings na positive din. Now, like I said earlier, it's not just to label the emotion, you want to also be able to give it some, find the intensity of that emotion. Yeah? Like in that wheel, we saw maraming levels of emotion. Dito sa ating example, no? Pwede in the emotion of anger, furious is 5, angry is 4, then medyo frustrated, hindi naman ganun ka lakas ng energy ngayon, annoyed and then bothered. So it's helpful sometimes, no? When I speak to my clients, sometimes when I ask them to talk about their emotions, I even ask them, how would you rate that emotion? No? Helps us think more about what it really is happening. And why is this important? Because sometimes when we get to know na maliit lang pala yung emotion na yun, hindi siya yung mad na akala natin or we label it, simple lang pala ang solusyon. Diba? Or hindi naman pala ganun kalaki yung stress na nararamdaman ko. Meron pa akong magagawa na mas angkop para doon. So knowing the intensity of the emotion is helpful. The third of task that is helpful for us to do is to write it out. Now I agree, some of us are not the type of people to write, but research has shown talaga na when people write, you know, when they write their emotions, lalo na when it's a very emotionally charged situation, there are so many benefits to doing that. Okay, why? Because you can release the emotion. Nobody's going to judge you. You can just keep writing. If you write in a journal, you become more aware of it and you are able to be honest with yourself. Huh? Especially if you just do free writing. No. And when you ask yourself after writing, what did I learn or what does this tell me? Nagkakaroon tayo ng moment of being open to a new perspective of things. Napapansin niyo ba yun pag nag-journaling tayo? Parang minsan may mga endings tayo, nakakadagdag tayo doon ng mga positive. Sabi nga ni Ms. Jean, yun yung positivity can come up here. If you do this on a regular basis, you can learn to discover what is helping you change. And you will also learn how you can track, yeah, the change that is happening to you. Yeah. So that is one suggestion that we have. If you don't like writing, I think for some people, they've actually tried recording their voice, no? And listening to it. And if you don't want, if it's too negative sometimes, meron din just writing it down and then discarding it, pwede din yun, no big deal. What is important is we're able to become aware, right? The emotion, become aware of it, and accept, yeah, accept that this is part of our life now. Speaking of emotions, since we're still on emotion, and I felt that this would be a good opportunity to also share with you that this journey of ours in the pandemic, yeah, has been known to be similar to people's journey with grief and death. So I want to spend a few minutes now and maybe sharing with you what is this model that, that people now are turning to be able to identify, you know, what's happening and maybe even find a reason or a direction that they can go for. These stages of coping with death, we thank or acknowledge the hard work that Miss Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, yeah, in the late 60s did to discover this. This is somewhat similar to yung losing a love, yeah, either to death or maybe to a breakup. Diba? Kapamilya yung iba sa inyo dito. Ito yung mga stages of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Okay, so let's take a closer look. By the way, itong five stages of grief or death in Kubler-Ross, nagkaroon na ng mga, over the years, modifications. It is now seven stages. Nadagdag na yung shock at saka yung testing. So, in a very short story, let's try to see kung gaano katotoo nga itong stages of grief at ang ating nararamdaman dito sa pandemic. No? Tunay nga na shock. I think all of us underwent shock, right? In around what, nung nagkaroon ng balita in March and when we had the quarantine. We heard it happening abroad, but many of us did not think it would come and be a real thing here in our country. So, we hear the bad news, no? And it is not common that when we hear something new, or things that we don't like, we have a certain phase of denial. We try to avoid that information, okay? We try to say, no, that's gonna be. I remember during this time, hindi yan magtatagal, saglit lang yan. Itong online learning, maybe ano lang to, blended learning, baka ano lang, a few months lang, no? Ngayon lang yan. No? So we will really go to that phase of saying, it can't be happening. And sometimes, when we certain, you know, time passes on and we start feeling this, why is it not changing the way I would like it to be? Nagkakaroon tayo ng pent-up energy, no? We get frustrated and then this frustration can be poured out into unexpected ways. Kaya it is not, parang some people interpret na yung panic buying, yung mga... pupunta sa grocery, you know, haba-haba ng pila, yung mga news, yan, yung mga news na nilalabas natin sa social media, maybe that was part of our community being in that denial and anger stage. And when we finally realize, oh gosh, this is going to last longer, no? It's gonna be a little bit more permanent, that is when, maybe by a natural course, our brains start to seek a way out. And that is what we call the stage of bargaining, seeking a way out, like maybe allowing ourselves to change a little bit, to try something new. Maybe I'll try, sige na nga, I will go and wear my mask and wear my shield and wear have the alcohol and, you know, take a bath and always seeking a way out to be able to deal with the risks and the dangers, no? But every now and then, there will be a depression because we are still losing something that we are so much was a part of our lives. And more testing. And yes, like in grief, we would like there be a point where we can be more at peace with the changes that are happening now. Okay, so yan ang ating 7 stages of grief. Now, we want to take note that yung 7 stages na to, hindi to pare-pareho, hindi tayo lahat dumadaan din sa stages as a group. Pwedeng may iba, mas mabilis sila to overcome it. Meron namang iba, matagal. Really takes them long. And also remember, the grief that we are feeling has a lot to do with many things that are repeated over and over again. Our minds could be grieving about first, okay, I can't go out. I'm here, quarantine. Then later we're thinking, shucks, wala may mga friends ko. So that's another topic to have these feelings about. Pwede din yung grief na, I like going to I miss the classrooms. Diba? I want to engage with the professor. I want to be in my lab. Oh, there is also. So there are many repeated losses that we are experiencing. Yeah? So that is could be the reason why we tend to shift from one emotion to the other. It's helpful when we write these things down. We will get some clarity and specifics of kung ano talagang nangyayari. Write it down or like what other people are doing, talk to someone about it. We move from one stage to the other, right? Because of all the losses. But in the end, we would like, yes, the change to happen and eventually come to such a stable state of commitment and acceptance. Okay. So, from the 7 stages of grief, yung very crucial model na nagawa ni Kubler-Ross, na-transform din nila into reactions to change. So, hindi lang pala sa grief. This is something we do. These are emotions that we undergo when we are changing. So, I like that word, changing. Hindi lang focused on the grief of loss, but the word change. Parang the word change helps me and hopefully you also see this more in a doable, positive light. Now, an action-oriented experience. And this is now, the transformed curve, the change curve. Okay, similar to what we saw, but more like ending in stage 4, acceptance. Kanina parang hindi ko ikot in each stage, but ito, we would like, there's stage 1 of denial, then anger, then we explore, and then accept. Yeah. So, ganun din, not many difference, denial stage. Yeah. We don't want things to happen. And actually, we're so distressed here in the denial stage that we tend to have distress tolerance. Denial is identified as a distress tolerance strategy. What do I mean by this? Sinasabi din po nila na sometimes when we deny the change, it sort of buys us time. No? Parang sometimes you have to step back and say, hindi pa. Because we want to sort of maybe collect our energies or probably prepare ourselves from what is to come. So parang yung denial, sinasabi nga nila, meron ding positive effects po yan. It could be foolish, but it can be pala adaptive. No? Then, the stage 2, sabi natin nga, yung emotions of anger and depression. Nangyayari yan pag hindi natin nakikita kung ano ang magiging result. Lots of uncertainty. Talagang mangyayari magkaroon tayo ng emotions this way. But like they say in the saying, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. So, from our resources, or maybe from someone's suggestion, or from the news, or from a counselor or what we read, we can see that, wait, if I continue to go on with these emotions of mine, I will be stuck here. No? I'm not going to go anywhere. So we inch our way slowly to exploring. And ulit, si ating bargaining. Maybe I'll try this. What if I try that? No? And I'm hoping that in your experience in the last semester, everything there was new. No? You had some things you tried. Something to do probably with time management, coping with your time, something to do with asking a friend, a classmate, what's going on with you, being compassionate with a groupmate because he's not able to attend to the meeting because of some family problems. No? There have been andami-dami ways of people managing their experiences. And like Ms. Gina said, we can learn a lot from each other. All those examples that you gave previously na mga ginagawa natin. That is part of our exploration and bargaining. And finally, we will reach or we are reaching the stage of acceptance. Acceptance is actually not really saying yes, just yes to everything. Acceptance is probably saying, I recognize that this is happening to me and I can do something. Learn to live with the change, maybe. Get involved with the change and deal directly with it. So when you are doing this, guys, there is already a part of us that is changing and starting to accept. But it will take some time, ha? Hindi mabilis-bilis na. Kung nagawa ko ng magandang time management schedule ko, okay na ako. Pwedeng hindi. Pwedeng bumalik pa rin tayo sa ibang stages. But we can learn to build on these strategies and become more resilient. Now, the next part that I thought would be good to explain, share with you is the thoughts on pain and suffering. So when we're in anger and depression and anxiety, okay, it is very, very normal, okay, that we experience pain. Wala atang ganung emotions, negative na walang kasamang pain. Normal lang na meron some sort of discomfort, some sort of pain. Ano ba yung pain? Sabi dito, let's skip this slide muna. Pain is a mixture of biological and psychological sensations in response to harm. So pain is really part and whole of our life. Not stress and pain. It's very normal. Okay? In fact, the anxiety, kind of pain, is somehow important. Why? Because it helps us, actually, when we feel this uncertainty and powerlessness, for some of us, a certain amount gets us going, gets us acting to do something, no? Gets us to participate. So we need that kind of stress of anxiety a little bit to proceed with everyday life. Maybe we won't call it anxiety, might want to call it worry. Worry, no? Uncertainty. It becomes a problem, yan. When this pain becomes more of suffering.
Huwag po kayong aalis, magbabalik ang Tala Alaman, DZUP Special Features.
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 60.4.
Iwasan ang pagkakaroon at pagkalat ng sakit na COVID-19. Palagi ang maghugas ng kamay. Siguraduhing wasto ang paggamit ng mask. I-check ang temperatura para sa lagnat. Umiwas sa matataong lugar. Iwasang hawakan ang mukha kapag hindi pa nakakapaghugas ng mga kamay. Iwasan muna ang pagyakap, beso-beso o paghalik sa ngayon. Maging maingat, maging ligtas.
Basta't laging handa at sama-sama, kaya natin to. Hatid sa inyo ng PCOO, DOH, KBP at ng himpilang ito.
Stop. It's okay to breathe. Release the stress. Live your life. A public service announcement from DZUP 1602, Kasali ka!
Paano nga ba magkaroon ng well-balanced meal? Para lang yung pagbuo ng banda. Carbohydrates for energy. Protein for bones and muscle building. fruits and vegetables for vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. Huwag kalimutan ng water for proper circulation of nutrients. Altogether, they make a meal for a body in perfect harmony. Isang paalalang, kasali ka mula sa DZUP 1602.
Tala Alaman, DZUP Special Features.
Now, what is the definition of suffering? Suffering is solely a psychological thing, a product of the existential meaning we give to the experience of pain. So, like they say, ano bang difference? Pain, pwede siya yung first experience of the discomfort, that is the pain. But the suffering is when you allow this feeling and this experience to continue to affect you. Second arrow, third arrow, fourth arrow. Affect you in a way where you have a choice actually to lessen it. Now, what am I saying by that? Usually kasi, when we have suffering, it is when we experience pain and we, in our minds and in our hearts, we are in denial and we don't want to move. Okay, we have not found a way to move further than yon, no? This comes with a lot of things that we put in our mind, negative things probably, and also thoughts and feelings that make us want to avoid something. So suffering can happen. We're always avoiding, or attach to something. So we won't let go. Okay, so that happens to us when we are in that zone of suffering. So what do we do? Yan. So tatanong sa'yo, eh, Doc, ano nang gagawin? Yun ang actual experience ko. Parang feeling ko ang dami pa yung overwhelming things. No? One of the key strategies, yeah, to managing all these thoughts and these emotions is to separate our thoughts, our worries, our angers into categories. Categories that are very clear, no? In my sphere of influence or in my control and not in my control. Kasi we have to recognize there are things we can do and things we cannot. Yeah? So we differentiate it, okay? And then what do we do with things we cannot control, like your past, your friend's feelings, the feelings and thoughts of the people around you, your professor maybe, your family members' behavior, you can't control them. Okay, the government's policies, okay, maybe you can influence a little bit, verbalize, but really, can you really change it alone? No? We set them aside and recognize them, and we learn to just say, okay, it's there, it's part of my life, so it's some sort of like radical acceptance. And then put all these energies that we have into things that we can control. And I do believe, no, yung mga suggestions yung kanina, I wrote some of them down here, no, was what you were doing, things you could control. So what can you control? You can control your attitude. Sabi ni Ms. Gina, think of a positive thing out of this experience, diba? You can control your beliefs. I am not beliefs about ourselves and the people around us, diba? And what everyone has been doing really is yung mga self-management behaviors. A lot of people are looking to learn new things. Ayan. A lot of people are helping others. Ayan. A lot of people are adjusting their time management strategies. Oh. So marami tayong solutions within our control that we can focus on so that we don't experience this thing called too much anxiety or suffering. Ayan po, ayan, sa ating slide, no? Mga relaxation exercises, prayer, reading, music, oo, di ba? If you look at the news, daming mga different creative ways of dealing with life. And it's not just one. Actually, there's a lot. You just have to be take time, no? To explore. Now, the fourth topic I'd like to move into is procrastination. Why did I choose this? Well, because with all the clients that I see, procrastination has been coming up all the time. I guess not only for those who have stress, you know, mental health issues talaga, But even those who are dealing, know how to deal with stress, you know, the people who are really good at time management, somehow they're surprised, bakit ko naka-experience itong delay? Okay? So, that is, you know, procrastination is when you don't do it now and go for later. Yeah? So, let's have a look. So, I'd like us to spend just a few minutes looking at this word procrastination. So, if you Google this procrastination, or maybe in other dictionary, it actually means the action of delaying or postponing something. Ito simple lang siya. You stop something or delay it. Say, hold ka muna. Okay. But over the years, and maybe even in school, you know, when I was in college, doing my master's, graduate studies, parang si procrastination, nagkaroon na siya ng ito, itong second and third. Ito ang naging meaning na niya sa atin. Bad habit that impacts on productivity. A form of self-regulation failure. So somehow, procrastination started having a negative rap, no? A negative identity. Yeah. Well, I think there is naman reason to believe that, because pwede talagang when we feel guilty about not doing something, we can really get into this cycle, vicious cycle of guilt, then doubting about yourself kasi wala ka pa rin ginagawa, and helpless. So, nangyayari na, things starts to move. Yeah? So, eventually, it becomes a bad habit, the delay you did. And eventually, you're forgetting to regulate. Now, I invite you, I can't talk much about this, but I get excited when I think about this blogger, si Tim Urban, found him in the internet this pandemic. He's a speaker, a writer, he's a nice Wait, But Why? Yeah, that's his blog or his website. And ang ganda ng explanation niya, how, okay, here, how our brains really have a part of us, which is the rational decision maker, who, when that part is in charge, is able to make plans, is able to solve problems, is able to, you know, work, yeah, the way we can to solve our issues or address a project. So we have that. And we also have the instant gratification monkey, yun ang tawag niya. Yan ang mga tawag mo dun sa ating other side that wants to chill or parang seek pleasure. Pleasure. Okay? At sinasabi niya na in the course of the day, minsan naka-decision, may rational tayo, minsan yan si instant gratification monkey ang nandiyan. Now, when the instant gratification monkey, which happens a lot, likes to get in the way now, lalo na now, because we have stress, we want to chill and relax, magkakaroon tayo ng deadline. Itong monster dyan sa red, sabi niya. Yan na yung sinasabi, ayan na yung deadline. So, maa-alert na tayo and malilipat na from the instant gratification to the rational part of us. So in the end of his talk, I'll share it with you. He says, possibly, lahat pala tayo are capable of procrastinating. Hindi pala merong non-procrastinator at procrastinator. Lahat tayo, we have that. Because why? Well, we are many reasons to delay something. Some of them are happening when we have certain situations in our lives or certain habits that we have that are lend us to doing that. So here in this study, yeah, you might want to look this up if you're curious about procrastination, by Choi and Chu, they were able to describe two types of procrastinators. Yung passive procrastinator, ito yung nagpo-procrastinate na walang masyadong, how do you call this, plan. Okay, madalas, nawawalan tayo ng plan or ng motivation to do something because, like I said earlier, baka we held off something and then we got caught in the guilt and then we got caught in the low self-esteem na hindi na tayo makaalis doon. We are paralyzed. So we're not doing anything anymore. Yeah? Pwede din, nagpo-procrastinate tayo like that monkey that I showed you. Because we don't like unpleasant things and boring things. We want excitement. And some of the things we need to do, hindi siya exciting. So, pwedeng dinidelay natin. And it could be a fact that if you have poor time management system or you don't have a system, pwede din you have tendency to delay things. So, yan ang mga reasons, no, for passive procrastinators, which we want to avoid because for the longer time we procrastinate, mamaya na, and we have feelings of failure and low outcome, mas bumababa ang ating self-esteem and mental health, right? So I'm proposing to you, maybe you want to look at procrastination in two other ways, which they also found in their study. Meron palang active procrastinator. Pwede pala tayo maging ganun. What is when you procrastinate with a purpose? What does that mean? Well, sometimes new things come up and they need to be considered and you need to delay something temporarily. This, I think, has been a part of our lives as students and as workers in the pandemic. We're in the home, a lot of things coming up, things we're not familiar with, we have interruptions, etc. It will be normal, guys, normal to delay certain things because we're groping around on how to manage all of these new things. We don't know what is urgent, not urgent. Diba? We think ngayon lang yan. Okay? But as we go along, I think, and if we take note of how these things affect us, we can probably learn to know when to say no to certain things and then to focus on what we have to do, meaning prioritize. The second kind of procrastinator is for creative purposes. Yan po ang outcome ng journal, article natin dito by Choi and Shu. When you're in a creative work, sometimes you need to procrastinate. You need to stop a little bit, leave it in the burner because you need to have room, yeah? Room for your brain to relax and come up with new ideas. If we're focused on the rigid way we want to do things, we will not be open to a different perspective and a new way. So procrastination, in that sense, is beneficial. So in the end, it's number one, trying to, when procrastination, let's try to show some acceptance for it, probably try to get to know it some more, this procrastination of ours, try to see how we can turn it in such a way that we can return back, no, our focus to what is important. And of course, Miss Gina, I do believe, talked a little bit about this, about needing talaga a system for doing work. Sana wala, sana ano lang, take things as they come, but actually the system is important. It's just really up to you, no? How you will choose the system that is fit for you. You can have your deadlines, that's one. When you have a deadline, that's good because then there's a sense of urgency. That's one element in your system. Another element is accountability, maybe telling someone about what you are going to do because then it develops better responsibility. Kasi you want to make sure when you told that person you're going to do it or you are doing it, you actually do. No?
Pagsasara na ng talarawan na puno ng kaalaman. Tumutok tuwing alas 11 ng umaga, Lunes hanggang Biyernes, sa Talaalaman, DZUP Special Features. Thank you.